Could it be that God has locked your life into problems for a certain period of time, but that plan is good for you? I know by now somebody said, this preacher is crazy. I'm teaching scripture. That is why you can bind and loose in it. Nothing happens.
Hello, saints. Welcome to another hopeful message from Covenant Family Chapel. In these times of fear and anxiety, you need a word that will uplift us. We need to remember the words of 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear does not come from God. To come into the knowledge and understanding of such biblical teachings for these times, let's listen to author and teacher Neil Archiampong with a message of hope.
So we will continue with our series of lessons on the revelation of the prayer of the saints. Revelation on the prayers of the saints. The Bible says when you and I gather to pray, it is not another church meeting. When we gather to pray, we create spiritual momentum. There is something we cause to happen on the face of the earth. When the early church gathered, something took place. And when you and I gather to pray, something is going to take place. Amen. In the book of Revelation chapter 5, the Bible teaches us that the prayers of the saints was symbolic of the incense that was being carried by the angels who were before the throne. When the Lamb took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, the scripture says they had in their hands harps and golden vials which contained the incense, and the scripture says it was the prayer of the saints. In Revelation 8 from 3 to 5, the scripture says when they took a little piece of that incense and threw it on the earth, there was thunderings and lightnings, and may our gathering, when we gather to pray, we stood here this morning to make a declaration that there is going to be some thunderings and some lightning, and there's going to be some shaking. May the political circles be shaken. May America be shaken. May the nations of the world be shaken. Come to know that Jehovah is God and there is no other. Amen. Let those who contend with you never win. You didn't hear me. Let those who contend with you never win. They will get them, but they will not be of one mind. You see, they will gather to have a meeting, but they will never be of one mind. And when they decide to bind, it will never be bound. Never. May that be your portion today. As I may that be your portion today. That whenever the enemy thought that he has won, all glory be to the name of the King. Somebody in the house begin to rejoice. A miracle is on its way today. God is about to change something, break something, lose something, move something. May the supernatural power of God begin to move some things on your behalf. Every single day is a good day. Because whenever we speak, something happens. Raise your right hand and say this with me. Men ought always to pray. Ask the person sitting next to you, do you know why? Do you know why we ought to pray all the time? Because when we pray, we give God the permission to step in the affairs of men. So if you choose not to pray, nothing happens. Satan is at work because we have chosen not to pray. But this morning, everybody stand on your feet. I want you to begin to declare, Lord, we pray over the United States of America. Let your will begin to take place. Everybody, let your voice. Lepako sete. Libre ke badone mekepa. Isadane mekepe le diono kopa. Lord, we pray over this nation. Let every workings of darkness, let the things that are not of you, that have been put into motion, never have its way. Never have its way. Never have its way. We decree and declare today, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, we cancel everything. Have your seats, child of God. The Lord has laid something on my heart to begin a call to bring parents together who will pray their children through. They will be acting like fools, but will be praying. And one day in the midst of their foolishness, the Holy Spirit will take over. You don't believe it? I said in the midst of their foolishness, the Holy Spirit will what? He will take over. Today I want to speak to you on the subject, how to pray in crisis. Anytime you are in crisis, you are tempted to pray a certain way. But today we want to learn, and it will not just be today. I will be dealing with this for the next 6 weeks. So please don't miss it. How to pray in a crisis. Say that with me. All right. How to pray. When people are in crisis, most of the time, there's a way we pray. I have found out that when people are in crisis, sometimes they play what I call the blackmail prayer. You have prayed it before. God, if you don't do this for me, I will not serve you. Have you prayed it before? It normally doesn't come out of our lips, but we live it. You realize that your enthusiasm for the things of God begin to go down because God didn't do something. Sometimes we do not only pray the blackmail prayer, but we start going into what I call negotiation prayer. We begin to negotiate. God, if you do this, I will serve you with all my heart. I promise I will give this. But do you realize, after praying all those prayers, for some reason, God doesn't listen? So today we're going to take our time and we're going to study how to pray. The third one is called panic prayers. God, if you don't do something, I'm dead. But you're still here. And Satan has said the people are not even in faith, because when you are in a panic mode, there is no faith. Are you understanding me? So we must learn to pray the right way. We must learn to do what? Pray the right way. And we're going to take our time this morning. Turn with me to the book of Daniel chapter 9. We would use the story of Daniel to help inform our discussion this morning. And I'll read this few verses in the New Catholic Bible. I read all kinds of versions, so sometimes I use them because of words that are used in it. Daniel chapter 9, from verse 1 to verse 3. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, a Mede by birth, who became ruler of the kingdom of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, was studying the scriptures. Please underline that. And reflecting on the 70 years that according to the word of the Lord to the prophet Jeremiah had to pass before the desolation of Jerusalem would come to an end. Verse 3. Read with me from the screen if you can, shall we? Read. Then I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in earnest prayer, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now let's lay a groundwork to this. Daniel was 15 years old when he was carried into captivity. God allowed Jehoiakim to be carried into captivity by sending Nebuchadnezzar to go and besiege the city of Jerusalem and destroy it. When they destroyed the city, Nebuchadnezzar carried a lot of prisoners, and Daniel was one of them. He was 15 years old when he was carried into captivity. Jeremiah, who we will talk about in this text, because you remember Daniel was saying, I studied, right? He was saying the words of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was not carried into captivity, but he was left in the city that has been what? Destroyed. Fast forward to chapter 9, Daniel is 85 years old. Do the math. He was carried away when he was 15, and at this point he is what? 85. What is the difference? 70. Jeremiah prophesied that the people will be in captivity for 70 years. Daniel looks at his people and their plight is the same. How can the people of God who serve God, who has the name of Jehovah on them, live a life that does not reflect the children of God? That is a crisis situation. Daniel said, it's time for me to pray because the 70th year had come. You see, there are people who think that because God has said it, that's it. There are things that will come to pass because God said it, but there are some things God has said it, it needs your cooperation. Do I need to say that again? When God says Jesus was going to come to die, he didn't need your cooperation. But when he said he will bless you if you obey him, he needs your cooperation. Are you with me? So Daniel began to pray, but the scripture says before he prayed, he did something. He studied the scriptures. Everybody say he studied the scriptures. So how do we pray in crisis? Today I only talk about one thing. How are you and I going to pray? Because we are often in crisis or we just came out of one. Do you agree? How do we pray? Study the scriptures and let God speak to you about your crisis first before you speak to him. Study there. You know how when we want to pray, we are so much in a rush, we don't even consult what the Bible has to say. But anytime you are praying in a crisis, don't be in a panic mode. Don't negotiate with God. Don't blackmail him. Take the scriptures and begin to search the scriptures. What has God said concerning this problem I have? What is his prescription of coming out of it? Because I will dare to say this in defiance of all the people who think the Bible doesn't address everything. When Sony makes a TV, do the manual they give you address every problem with the TV? Yes, it does. It's called troubleshooting guide. And when there is something not in the troubleshooting guide, what does it say? Warranty. Send it to the authorized dealer and they will fix it and send it back to you for free. Why? Because the name of the manufacturer is at stake. God has given us instructions, and when the thing cannot be fixed, he said, come to me, I will fix it for free, because his name is what? At stake. So whenever we are in the midst of crisis, let us not rush. Tell the person sitting next to you, don't rush in the midst of crisis. Study the scriptures. Keep talking to them. And let God speak to you before you speak to him. Amen. You, as a child of God, must understand this. You will never pray effectively until you study the scriptures. Once I heard somebody saying, oh, we are going to do this kind of fast, and this kind of fast brings answers. Do you want to know the kind of fast they were fasting? They did not even talk about Daniel fast. They did not talk about all the other fast in the Bible. They said there is a fast where you must fast naked. Today, Christians are becoming silly and foolish. And they believe it works. What is the difference between this and necromancy? Did the Bible say we walk by faith? Did the Bible say we walk by faith?
Yes.
So why are we running around looking for a prophet to give you your tomorrow? Where is faith then? If God wanted to reveal everything, he would have. You see, in Jeremiah's day, Hananiah and other prophets were telling the people, you are coming back immediately. And Jeremiah was telling them, you are not coming back. You will be there for 70 years. Which of these two prophets, if you were in that dilemma, would you accept? Let's just be honest. Which of the two? The one that is telling you are coming up. You are coming up. You are coming out. And God is telling Jeremiah, go tell the people you will be there for 70 years. You see, God's plan, and today I'll bring you back to Jeremiah 29. Because that's where the prophet Jeremiah speaks to them. He says, 70 years, but after that, I will visit you. And God will not cut short 70 years by one day. Sometimes God has you where he has you. Because it is part of his plan. You and I think that plan is not good, but he says it is good. Steady there. Come on, talk to me. Steady there. Now, let's go back to Daniel chapter 9. The guy has found the problem, and he wants to know what God has to say before he prays. Are you in Daniel 9? Look at verse 2. In the first year of the reign of Darius, remember Daniel lived through three kings. All right? Nebuchadnezzar, the one who brought him in. Belshazzar, who came to take all those temple stuff and mess around with it, and there was handwriting on the wall. You remember him? And then Darius the Mede, because the Mede came to destroy the Babylonians and they instilled another king. And Daniel lived through all of them. And he did not know that his life has been locked into 70 years. Of slavery. Could it be that God has locked your life into problems for a certain period of time, but that plan is good for you? I know by now somebody said, this preacher is crazy. I'm teaching scripture. That is why you can bind and loose in it. Nothing happens. Daniel lived in spite of it, and he saw victory. Why are you quiet now? Okay, let me go back to the one that will make you shout. Are you in Daniel chapter 9? Let's look at verse 2. Verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, was studying the scriptures and reflecting on the 70 years that, according to the word of the Lord to the prophet Jeremiah, had to pass before the desolation of Jerusalem will come to an end. In other words, God has locked their deliverance in time. It cannot be hurried. You can't fast it. Whatever you do, God is not going to cut it short. It will be 70 years. I said it will be 70 years. There are two phrases I want you to look at in that verse. The first phrase is study the scriptures. Study the scriptures. Secondly, reflect on the words. Whenever you are in the midst of crisis and you are studying God's word, begin to reflect on things that regards the crisis you are in. God has an answer. I said God has an answer. Let me tell all of you a story. A friend of mine, we both landed on the shores of this country same day. He went all the way up to a different state. For years, he had prayed, fasted, trusted God just to get a green card. It never happened. One day, he called me and said, can we go on a fast? My brother, help me. I am going on 40. And I said, I will only spare my blood pressure medication for 21 days. 40? No. He said, no problem. So we started the journey. And we fasted. And we prayed, and we sought the face of the Lord. And on the 40th day, that same day, he had the news. Long story short, the guy got a green card. Has he moved the hand of God? Has he moved the hand of God? But did he know the plan of God? Because the following month, he goes back home. And he had finished everything he was supposed to do. And on his way back to Accra to board a plane, he stops and goes to, you know, Chop Bar, right? And he eats. And he's crossing the street with three other people. A truck, long trailer, comes in. None of the other three was touched but him. And he dies on the spot, leaving his wife and children here. The question I want to ask you is, why was God delaying it? Then I understood I have not helped my friend. I actually helped him to die by fasting 21 days. Because in those 21 days, we never asked for God's will. We were only pushing our will. Because our will was, Grinkan. I pray that God will help refine our prayer topics so we will know his will. Are you with me today? So we will what? Know his will. Study the scriptures. Learn, reflect on things that concern your issues. John chapter 15, look at the 7th verse. Please, if you can read with me from the screen, that would be great. I'll read this one from the Amplified Bible. John 15 and the 7th verse. He says, if you live in me or abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your heart, ask whatever you will. Does it sound like a blank check? And it shall be. Come on, read with me. Jesus is saying, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask for anything. So understand why Daniel started from the whole concept of abiding first and allowing the word to abide what? In him. Then he has a basis to ask for anything. Do you realize if the word is abiding in you, anything does not mean anything. It is anything in the word. Are you with me? All right, read with me. Shall we? Go. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your heart, ask whatever you will, and it shall be. So the scripture says the prerequisite in having something happen as an answer in prayer is allowing this word to be in you, but not just in you, continually to live in you. Some of us, we have the word in us, but it's dead. The word must be alive in you. Amen. Now, everybody look at me. There's something I'm about to show you. Daniel has found the problem. Don't you think he could just start his fasting and prayer and just pray? But he begins to study the word of God to fully understand how they're going to come out. Because it's a sin that brought them there in the first place. So you will notice from verse 4, when he starts praying, he confesses the sins of the people. If you understand what God says about your crisis, you will pray the right way. Are you guys with me? Don't let nobody fool you by saying, oh, this thing, all you have to pray is put a bunch of words together and that's it. God is not interested in your show. He's interested in his word. And if you take this word back to him, he is obligated to answer it. Amen. Daniel allowed the word to continue in his heart. I'm going to show you. Turn with me to the book of Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Look at verse 10. Read with me from the screen. I'll read this from the New International Reader's Version. Daniel chapter 6. Read with me from the screen, shall we? Go. Daniel found out that the king had signed the order. In spite of that, he did just as he had always done before. He went home to his upstairs room, its windows opened towards Jerusalem. He went to his room 3 times a day to pray. He got down on his knees and gave thanks to the Lord. So we are told that Daniel followed a routine. That routine was a routine of his life. What is that routine? Look in the verse and tell me. What is that routine? It's not prayer. What is that routine? He prayed how many times a day? 3 times a day. 3. And the guy has a routine of studying the scriptures before he prays. And he did it 3 times in a day. And he did it for 70 years. No wonder he was able to live under 3 kings, serving them as an administrator, and he was always promoted. Anybody who tells you that following the Bible won't get you anywhere is lying to you. Because the God who gave us this knows how to make things happen. Can I ask all of you a question? Do you want me to ask you a question? Turn to the person sitting next to you. Look at their faces. And ask them, do you think your life will be any different if you had a conversation with God 3 times a day your entire life? Give them an answer. If you could talk to God 3 times in a day, your entire life, would your life be different? That's what Daniel did. I know modern day people will simply say, but Pastor, we are very busy. Remember, Daniel worked in the White House of his day. He served the king directly. And he was not serving the king as a cupbearer, because the king wasn't drinking every time. He was an administrator, meaning the guy was involved in the daily decisions. And he served not only one king, 3. And he got promoted every time, because of the routine of 3 times a day in prayer. Can I challenge everybody that we start tomorrow? 3 times a day you pray for the rest of your life, and watch what will happen in your life. 3 times. 3 times. You see, because our thinking is that when I pray, I need to be able to do la 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 la. No, you don't need that. Sometimes in the office, I come here for counseling sessions and I pray like that all the time. Because there are people walking in front of me, the thing they're about to say, I haven't heard it before. And sometimes when people are done saying their issues, you realize you are paralyzed. Because you have no clue what to say to them. And sometimes under my breath, I say, Holy Spirit, this one is above my pay grade. You got to do something. Open my eyes. And sometimes all of a sudden it hits me, and I'll see a picture, and I will ask them about the picture. And that's where the solution is. Because whenever you pray, God is going to answer you. I said, God is going to what? Answer you. 3 times a day. Tell the person sitting next to you. That's the new prescription. Please talk to them. That's the new what? Prescription. 3 times. Prayer. 3 times a day. 1 in the morning. 1 in the afternoon. You got it. What kind of tablet is it? Prayer. That starts with understanding the word. And this prescription, 3 times in a day. 3 times a day. Could it be that the marriage issue you are crying over, if you give it 3 times in a day, you will have the same wisdom? Was it not Daniel who the same king, King Darius, came back and said, oh, Daniel, has your God delivered you from the lions? Because 3 times in a day, he spoke to God about the lions. So the lions' mouth were shut. Come on, talk to me. 3 times. This is the new prescription.
Thank you for listening to another kingdom impacting message. Have you been looking for a place to call home? Need a place that makes you feel welcome and valued? At Covenant Family Chapel, our community is waiting for people just like you to find their way home. We invite you to visit during one of our Sunday services to discover how you can spread your wings in our friendly and reposeful worship environment. Visit Covenant Family Chapel this Sunday for our 10 o'clock service, located at 10307 Coppermine Road, Woodsboro, Maryland. To interact with pastor and teacher Neil Archie Ampong, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, all at Covenant One Family. Call 301-696-8555 and visit the church's website at covenantfamilychapel.org.